Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
Woe unto thee, Havant! Woe unto thee, Bedhampton! For the mighty works which were, if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Gosport and Fareham, they would have repented long ago. Okay, I've taken a bit of artistic license there with the names of the towns that we heard Susie read, but the King James Version does bring a certain urgency to that call from Jesus. You know, I spend most of my time telling you that Jesus loves you beyond measure, and that's true. And you might expect today of all these days for me to continue that theme. And I do it for very good reason, because in our culture, in our time in history, many of us find it difficult to understand that the creator of the universe would love us. And he does. Doesn't matter how hard you work or what you've done. It's not about what you do. He loves you anyway. He came looking for you. However, today, we see Jesus sharing that love in a different way. Sharing that love as a parent almost through difficult conversations. If you've ever been a parent yourself, you will know that there are time for those gentle and soft conversations to be had with your children. And then there are those times where you have to have that difficult and direct conversation. My father had them with me, and I have had them with my children. I wonder if you've ever received one of those warnings, one of those conversations, or maybe you yourself have given those. Have you ever been on the receiving end, I wonder? I doubt very much that there are any of us that who at some point have not had that sort of conversation that goes along the lines of, I love you, but you need to hear this. You need to understand if you carry on the way you're going, it's not going to end well. Can't imagine that there are many of us that haven't had that type of conversation. And that is where we find Jesus today. We find Jesus today in Matthew in the mode of being a prophet. Jesus at times is in the mode of being our saviour, other times in the mode of being our friend, our Lord, our teacher. Today he's in the mode of prophet, foreseeing what will happen if we as his people continue down a certain path. Of course, when we think of a prophet, we often think of Isaiah and that reading, or one of the readings that we heard earlier on from Isaiah. And much of the Old Testament book we call Isaiah is about Israel being spoken to by that prophet, God speaking through the prophet Isaiah and saying to Israel, come on, you're wandering off, calling them back to repentance. There it is again, that word, repentance. Another word we don't like in the 21st century in England. We seem to brush up against that and push it away, don't we? In fact, actually, I'm as guilty as anyone of ignoring the word repentance. I often say things like saying sorry to God, don't I? But actually, saying sorry doesn't really bring with it the urgency of repentance. Saying sorry brings with it sort of he pictures up the image of the idea of a half-felt apology to a sibling you just clipped round the ear. Or maybe that's just me and my brothers. But repentance is more than that, isn't it? It's an urgent call to get back on track. It literally means to turn away from our sin, to turn away from one direction, to turn to the other. And we hear that from Isaiah, don't we? We heard Catherine say earlier on, if you do away with the yoke of oppression and the pointing finger and the malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in darkness. The Lord will guide you always, we read further on. Israel, Isaiah is saying, stop looking at yourselves. Immediately turn back to God. Stop pretending to be one thing and then do another. Repent. Now, Israel, the time is urgent. Destruction is just over the hill. And then in Matthew, we find Jesus in much the same mode, having much the same difficult conversation. You see, up to now, much of what we've read through Matthew, as we've been working our way through it, has been setting the scene about who Jesus is, about introducing his teachings, and about welcoming those outside of the Jewish faith in. But now, Jesus the prophet, Jesus the prophetic, turns his eyes onto those he knows, onto the Jewish people, onto those who go to synagogue, those who go to church every week. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre or Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloths and ashes. But I tell you, it would be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. Jesus is speaking to the Jewish towns, to those who say they know God. And he's saying, if you think things are going well, you're wrong. If you think things are doing okay, you're wrong. In fact, when push comes to shove, he says, it's going to be better for those towns of other faiths, better for those towns who have no faith, than it will be for you. If you think going to synagogue, going to church every week is enough, then you're wrong. If you think you can do one thing on a Saturday or a Sunday in church or synagogue, and then go and do what you want for the rest of the week, you're going to find out it doesn't cut it. That's what he is saying there. Whew, that's a bit of a tough talk, isn't it? Thank the Lord that we are not one of those towns, eh? Except, of course, you know where I'm going with this. Jesus has to have the same tough conversation with you and I as he did with them. You see, we have a choice. We are loved, but we have a choice. We can follow Jesus in just name. We can go to church on a Sunday. We can go to church online every week for the rest of our lives. And our families and the people around us will look at us and go, oh, they're good people. And then during the week, we can follow the way of the world and do whatever we want. That's one option, isn't it? Or we can take on the yoke of Jesus and live out our faith. The yoke he speaks of. Take my yoke upon you, he says, and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This yoke Jesus talks about is a metaphor, of course, of his teachings, of the weight of his teachings upon us. In the same way that we might have a yoke across our shoulders to balance out weight. Or you see oxen with a yoke to pull weight. You see, you will carry a yoke. You will carry a burden through life. It can be the burden and the yoke of mainstream culture. You know the one. The one that says, earn what you can, have a big house, drive the best car, look after yourselves, look after only those that you care about. Do the best that you can do for yourselves. It's okay, as long as you don't hurt anyone. That's one yoke that you can carry. What Isaiah calls the yoke of oppression. And indeed, if you carry that, if I carry that, we will reap the rewards of carrying that yoke. But if you wholeheartedly take on the yoke of Jesus, if you wholeheartedly do that, and yes, there will still be expectations of you, then we will find a new way of living. To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, to not turn away from your own flesh and blood. I know it's countercultural to follow that yoke. But you are countercultural. You are not like everyone else. You have received the love of Jesus. If we choose to repent and to take on that yoke and to live out the teachings of Jesus, can you imagine how it would be for you? Your children might turn to Jesus if they aren't already following him. You might see your grandchildren discover the life to the full that Jesus promises, the light of the world. Indeed, you might see your neighbourhood, your neighbours, be broken away from this yoke of oppression or whatever's holding them down. and see them live that life to the full. And if we, as a church here in Bedhampton, come together and all live that yoke, then we might, even in our lifetime, see God's kingdom come here in Bedhampton. We might see the chains loosed of injustice, the cords of the yoke broken. We might see the oppressed free and share food with the hungry. And much, much more. But only if we truly live the way that Jesus would have us live. And only if we turn to him.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.